In time, I think people will actually forgive Mitch Pearce for Origin. I mean, not as a rugby league player, just as a victim. You know, I actually met Paul Mellor once. I didn't care for him. Made me see things Eddinghausen's way. Actually, it's quite a sad thing. People often tend to forget about poor old Craig Gower, but not if you've played golf with him. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast John Hopewadi hasn't threatened to bash. Today we'll be discussing all sorts of topics from the upcoming World Cup, Cooper Cronk's possible move to the Roosters, and some potential rule changes for next year. Today I'm joined by panellists Ernie and Chip.
Now fellas, as you may be aware, Cooper Cronk is leaving Melbourne, and he seems to be going to play for a Sydney club, and the rumour is that he's going to play for the Roosters. It's caused a bit of a stir for a lot of people because some people are questioning, can the Roosters actually afford him? But there is a particular gent at the table and his name is Ernie. And you have a problem with this. I heard you ranting about this in the car earlier and you're suggesting that the Roosters can't afford Cooper Cronk. What's your deal?
Well, I don't actually have a problem. It's just funny now.
What's funny about it?
Well, the whole lineup's full of Origin players and ex-internationals and current internationals that most Roosters fans blow up about. But you're only getting a guy called Tedesco next year as well. So,
yeah, he's all right.
Hopefully by Friday you'll have, you know, JT, Jonathan Thurston in there, maybe Billy Slater. And yeah, just round it off with Cameron Smith. He can play reserve grade, you know, for Newtown.
Well, the thing is, you have basically just named the Storm team. I feel like your most of your ire should be directed towards Melbourne because you've just named Melbourne almost. Okay, and here's the thing. Have we got that many Origin players? I mean, are you counting Aiden Guerra?
I think you've got about a good 7 or 8 Origin players in there, yes.
Okay,
and internationals as well. So you've probably got a good 11.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Ernie.
Yeah.
But who are they?
Michael Gordon.
You can't say Gordon.
He played Origin.
He played one Origin 10 years ago.
But you think he's a fantastic player? Don't
actually,
you?
I like him.
You like him.
Gordy's awesome.
He's one of Eamon's favourites.
He is.
Yeah.
I love him. But you can't call him an Origin player. That's the thing. I think it's disingenuous.
So has he not played Origin?
He has.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's mate. He's 48.
Got you there.
What do you
he's
think,
put on
Chip?
The sky blue.
What do I think? The Roosters have bought every player under the sun that they can possibly find, and they still can't win premiership. So I'm a little bit disappointed there.
I think Chip has a point, right, Ernie? Because if we have breached the cap that regularly,
excuse me,
and we haven't really got a lot to show for it, that's the biggest insult you could lay at the feet of the Sydney Roosters.
Yeah, well, it must be painful winning minor premierships year after year.
Who cares about a minor premiership?
That's going to be hard. It's nowhere near as hard as being at the bottom of the ladder.
Ernie,
season over in May.
For the benefit of the listeners, who do you support?
The West Tigers.
Okay. Now, is this potentially behind a lot of your grief?
Probably.
Are you just angry?
Well, of course I'm angry. I'm a West Tigers fan.
They'll get better, mate.
Our goal line defence is, you know, Jesus, you'd be safe from Blake Ferguson's house as a child.
They're the two people you've named before, like Mitchell Pearce and Blake Ferguson for the Roosters are actually, I think, our two worst players this year. Like, I think they've performed the worst. Mm. I'm not saying they don't have talent.
You know, I think particularly with Mitchell, there were half a dozen opportunities to really stamp his name on this season after a bit of a shocker last season and didn't really live up to the budget.
Well, I think I've got a theory. I have a feeling after this Origin, because this Origin was touted as his comeback, and he was supposed to be, it was the resurrection of Mitch Pearce, who's never won one.
Well, did he play Origin, did he?
He played Origin,
I never saw him out there.
He did. Okay, yeah. He did. Yeah, yeah. Again, not going well for your argument, though. He's not a good Origin player. He's lost us about 8 Origins.
Hmm.
But I think because he couldn't win this one, his soul is now officially shredded. He played the worst football post-Origin than he's ever played.
Do you think he invested too much in the Origin dream, and when it wasn't to be, he found himself struggling for form?
Normally, he's good coming through the back end, but maybe that's only the start of the year in Australia.
That was a great way to start a season last year. See, again, you know, for all this money we're supposedly rorting the cap by, couldn't we spend a little bit more money just to police Mitchell Pearce on Australia Day?
Well, isn't it funny the lack of discipline there? Cost your team a season.
Yep, it pretty much did. Because hang on. We had Jackson Hastings to fall back on.
Well,
I'm not one of those freakish Origin players.
I'm not going to dignify. But I would say that pre-season, you know, you're not on the clock, so to speak, and you're having a bit of fun of a party, and you've ruined your team's season. So,
but I guess going back to our original question here, fellas, Cooper Cronk, do you see him playing on?
What could go Cronk?
Ernie, I feel like you have a lot of opinions on this.
Yes, I feel like there's a little bit left in Cooper.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, mate, his body is a temple.
I think if he was going to finish, he would have retired, but, you know, when I had the lap around. Yeah. I think there's a little bit more left in Cooper yet.
I think he actually has plenty more years, but I think he actually goes, I could do that, or I could get paid more money on Channel 9.
Well, I think with Cooper Cronk, he's one of these players that, unlike Cameron Smith, who, I mean, they're both great players, but Cooper still slides below the radar somehow. He manages to keep a low profile, which is very difficult for someone who's been as successful as he has. And he reminds me a little bit of like an elite SAS unit.
So you could see him as a sort of a psychopath of the Kalashnikov.
Well, I think that's more of an insight into your
frame of mind. I have a very cartoonish perception of what SAS officer is. I can only assume that they're the guys that take out people like Bin Laden.
Well, I think Cronk could do that.
I think he could.
I think he could land a football-shaped bomb on a Bin Laden at like 80 metres.
I'm going to say this. I think that if Craig Bellamy was in charge of that operation, they wouldn't have lost the first chopper.
Well, I guess from a young age, you've got to learn how to stay under the radar when your name's Cooper Cronk.
Well, that's true. For a guy who's had... Do you reckon that could be the theory, Ernie, that the reason he's not as high profile, like Chip's saying, is because he has one of the worst names in Australian sport?
Yeah, could be up there with Steel Richless.
That's a genuine rugby league player, isn't it?
Not quite the talent, yes.
I think that, for what it's worth, my two cents, I think Cooper Cronk should play for the Roosters. And I think we can squeeze him. We can squeeze him under that cap nicely. We just need to basically hold a ceremony where we sacrifice Mitchell Pearce. So the rugby league gods,
like a Mayan,
I think so.
Ceremony,
yeah, maybe throw his head down one of those pyramids.
Well, I think they actually play football with the head.
Do they?
I think there's a sport that was developed playing with the severed head of the vanquished.
Yeah, I think that's more of a South Sydney thing. They take their level of fandom far more seriously than the Roosters.
They take it way too far?
Yes. Maybe. Further? Farer?
Farer?
I don't know, but just going back to the Roosters, are you guys going to have some sort of like end of year Boxing Day sale sort of thing, but except you're just buying people? So, you know,
half price.
You're first on Boxing Day.
We get 50% off.
We get Tabalobo. We get them all.
Well, that is actually
why
what we do.
Why can't we get them all?
That's why we got Ferguson cheap, because he was in disgrace at the time. I don't know if you remember, but he was basically in jail. Guys, any final thoughts on Cooper Cronk?
I think it'll be exciting wherever he goes. He's a marquee player. It's actually quite exciting. I'm probably more interested in what he's going to do next than maybe even what he's done ever before. I mean, I know he's been a fantastic player, but it's in the twilight of your career. It's going to be an interesting next season.
I think he's 100% going to play on, and I think it will be for the Sydney Roosters.
Yeah, I think he'll play on, and he'll play for Politis's bottomless pit Roosters. Yes.
I think he'll play on. I'm not convinced he'll be a Rooster. I'd like him to be a Rooster, but...
we'll just get him on one of those really good third-party deals.
Mm.
You know, where you pay them $8 million to do a Lowe's ad.
Is that like those Clinton speeches?
You get like a big... You just turn
payoff
up, just turn
at
up
the end.
And get money. That's how Nick Politis is good at
That'd
doing
be
that.
$12 million.
Bad Hawaiian shirts. Why is Nick Politis always in a weird exotic location? By the way, if I'm reading the Telegraph,
I think it's tax reasons.
I think it's dodgy. Like they'll go, we're not sure about Blake Ferguson's future. Nick Politis is currently in Mauritius, and he's waiting to decide when he gets back. Mm. He's always somewhere, usually like hot and tropical, which is where your tax havens are. Not that I'm making any aspersions. Don't sue me.
Funny enough, Tedesco's in the house there.
Yeah. What do we get Tedesco on? $1 million a year, the Roosters?
No, I think you got him for about 800 or something.
Oh, that's a bargain.
You got him for nothing.
Again, I think we have good strategies here. Mm. Or really good third-party deals.
Well, that's a good question. What is the legal standing on buying a player a property overseas?
Well, maybe that's how we're doing it. You know, maybe the purchasing is, maybe the Roosters are actually based in somewhere like the Cayman Islands.
Foreign real estate brokers and... interesting.
I think there could be something in that.
You heard it here first, folks. We were right. Breaking the story.
What a day for him. He's come here with nothing in his pocket and he's gone home with twice as much.
That'd be nothing, wouldn't it?
Now, normally, the Rugby League is sort of derided for having a World Cup that's not really a World Cup. It's basically Australia and New Zealand with an outside chance of Papua New Guinea staging an upset. But this year, there's been a few stories floating around which have added a bit of spice, namely Tonga getting Jason Taumalolo and Andrew Fifita in the forwards. Does that make them a genuine threat, or is all this sort of paper talk?
Well, obviously, they're going to add to the team, but all round, do you think they want to be good enough in New Zealand or Australia?
Yeah. I mean, who's their half, for example? Like, everyone's talking about... they're talking Tonga up, but, like, do they have any halves that I don't know of any... Like, who are they? Is it still that...
Sid Eru.
I don't think the Tongans... I don't think the Tongans do things by halves. I think they're more... fully rounded approach to football, just big blocks of blokes,
yeah,
to run,
yeah,
and get in the way and bash stuff.
So they can't bash their way to a World Cup win, though, can they?
Well,
can they?
I'm not arguing that they can. No, I'm just, you know, maybe they've got a few extra bashes in there, but they're not a serious chance against New Zealand or Australia, like Ernie suggested.
What do we make of David Kidwell having a falling out with a number of players? I know Taumalolo apparently didn't even tell him that he wasn't in the team.
I know that David is a scary human being. I know that much.
I know David's a psychopath.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to upset him in the least. I wouldn't even, you know, want to be in the room if his the toilet paper wasn't folded properly in the hotel room. I just wouldn't want anything
back
to do
away.
With it. No missing peanuts from the bar fridge, nothing like that.
I'll back you up there, Chip, because I remember when David Kidwell would do the haka when he was playing. Mm. The only time I ever saw the other guys doing the haka stop and just back away from David Kidwell because he took it further. And they take it seriously,
he
as you know.
He out-huckered the Kiwis.
He did. They were just. They went, "You're not supposed to do that, David.
Yeah. You've kill someone.
Yeah, you've actually hurt Sean Johnson."
I remember seeing Tuiri Nikau crying in the corner.
Is that before or after the bike accident? Poor old Tuara. What was his nickname back in the... It was a battle axe? I've forgotten already.
Nikau? No, yeah, it's just Nikau. He didn't have one.
He definitely had
he
one.
He did have one.
They call him, was it Tea Cow? What was it? He had something with tea.
No, he didn't. Nothing like... No. It was like to cow. He didn't have anything.
He was just
comes
Nick
the cow. He was just Nick out now.
Yeah, you're right. Probably just making it up. Yeah. Thoughts? Can anyone beat Australia in this World Cup?
Oh, the All Blacks. I mean, the Kiwi rugby union team would probably go close.
They'd give them a run.
I think realistically, no. I mean, I don't even think New Zealand. I mean, lately they haven't really.
They've fallen off a cliff, haven't they? I look at that team and they don't look very scary or intimidating to me this time around.
Yeah, they've gone downhill a lot. Yeah, Johnson's not what he used to be. Foran's, you know, off on another planet. So
are they both playing? Yeah. Foran and... I assume they are.
I assume they are, yeah.
Yeah, but I know Foran's always injured.
I don't know if Kieran knows he's playing or not.
I heard Kieran's actually left the All Blacks because he walks out on a team every 8 minutes.
Yeah, he's good at that.
For what it's worth, I don't think anyone can knock over Australia. I think normally New Zealand actually... test us, but I think this year it can't happen. I mean, I think England look ordinary. I want Papua New Guinea to go well.
Yeah, it's good to see the Pacific Island nations go well. Well, I was going to mention something earlier, but like
Australia has a bad reputation for pilfering all of the talent from the Pacific nations to play for the green and gold, which is pretty silly when you consider that they don't really have any genuine opposition. Australia, like, I mean, they kind of do, but they don't. Shouldn't they be strengthening their opposition? Like, for instance, Tonga actually having Tongans playing for them this year is good.
There's a big difference between wanting to win the game and wanting to have a good game. So I don't see Australia being incentivized to bolster the other teams to make it harder for them to win, although I take your point that it might make for a better competition.
Yeah, because even if they win by 50 points and the tournament's considered a farce, I don't think that will be a credible win that they can savour.
Well, no Australian would mind. that?
Oh, I'm Australian, and I reckon it'd be better.
Yeah, but
to
you're
have...
not really Australian.
In what sense, Chip?
Well, you'd prefer a closer game than a 50-0 dropping. I think we built this country on being
on the back
far
of black
superior.
Labor. They deserve to if play in like. Our national team.
Well, you can call me un-Australian, but I'm always going for the Kiwis in the international game.
Why is that?
I think there's plenty of scope for the international game to build and flourish. So,
yep.
You got there's promising sides lately with the test matches between Tonga and Samoa. Which
yep.
is fantastic to see. Mm. So, if you get people like Rajadra playing for Fiji,
yep.
then obviously it's going to strengthen the game. So, and if you're Fafita's playing for Tonga.
Well, here's my question. Will Fafita actually strengthen that team or will he ruin it like he did New South Wales?
Ooh. Depends on not if there's any junior football, junior rugby league games going on and any referees around. So.
I think he needs his brother around as a bad influence.
Yeah,
though,
yeah.
This is a weird thing. There's another David Fafita coming up who's really good. We're going to have a... Not that, you know...
Is Andrew's, he related?
I don't think so. Well...
I've heard of this guy. It's meant to be fantastic.
When you're from Tonga, I guess you're all related. Don't hurt me.
but you get Chip. I'll leave that go
dig
through.
Dig my own grave.
Keeper with suggesting Tongans might all be related.
Well, it's an island. It's like Tasmania. I'm not being racist.
Jeremy Summers' head.
25 on Monday, Samuel. You've grown since you were born. You were born as 4 kilos.
How's the look of Bernie?
21 September 1990. You've put on 121 kilos since then.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. And we're actually now talking about the grand final. Now, we didn't get the opportunity to do a grand final edition of the show because we don't have any revenue coming in and we don't have a lot of production values. And I was mildly smashed on that night, actually, watching it at your place, Ernie. But I think the time is right now to actually just do a quick debrief on how we thought the game went. Probably not a lot of surprises, I'm assuming. Most people thought that the Storm would win, but did we think that they'd win in quite such emphatic fashion?
Wasn't much of a matchup, though, was it, really, in the end?
No, but I mean, the Cowboys had been playing very good footy for most of the final series.
Yeah, I just thought they were like a pass or two off, or like 10 metres behind, or just they were losing each of the little, interior battles within the game, and they looked like they might at some point find a chance to get back into the game, and that was never going to be enough.
Yeah, that looked like that for about 8 minutes in the second half, and then they looked like they were going to get smashed again. I think for 72 minutes of that game, one side was comfortably on top. So it was definitely a one-sided grand final. One scary guy I want to mention, his name's Kafusi, I believe, for Melbourne. How scary is that bloke?
Unbelievable.
He's just been picked in the Australian team. Of course he is. Well, but he's so good. They're the
Kafusi,
guys I'm talking
to. You say?
Yeah, Kafusi.
Sounds Australian.
Yeah, sounds very Aussie. Mm. Ernie, the grand final for you, mate, and how did you find it?
Yeah, mate. Well, as you could see, Melbourne were just the best team all year. You needed them to turn up about 80%, and they turned up 100. So yep. Cowboys had no chance from there on in. They were comfortably the better team.
Did you think that losing Sean Fensom was...
Well, that's obviously a key loss, losing Fensom.
I think once you lose Fensom, you're gone.
You know, yeah. Line break stats, zero. Career stats. Career try, zero.
Yeah, heart, 100. 100,
110%.
Yeah, 110% yeah, every
he's
week.
He's a tough man, Sean.
He tried to get up with his shattered leg.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He didn't know, but he gave it his best shot. Yeah. For a man with a nondescript head, he did well.
I like these little thumbs up from the Medicab.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. And trying to G the crowd up as well, actually, like trying to raise the temperature there. And what was interesting is he's just been severely injured. Mm. And he's been taken off
the field. By
the
way, that's interesting.
And he's, still trying to get his team over the line. And they just didn't lift for him. They didn't care.
Fensom did his job.
They just turned off and Melbourne walked away with it. So,
Yeah. Mind you, did you see Fensom's leg, the x-ray? I think it was shattered in about 18 places. Still, if he really wanted it, he would have got up and kept going.
Well, I mean, how many legs do you need to play the ball?
Probably just one.
Mm. You can hop it along. I mean, it might hurt, but,
I'm sure it will hurt.
Take one for the team. It's the grand final.
It's rugby league.
This is not a, weekend, regular... game. This
no.
is the big one.
Don't be a pansy.
They say they can't run without legs. I disagree.
How so?
You can.
Hopping right along.
No, I think Melbourne were definitely, you know, the better team throughout the whole year. This is probably, I want to throw another question out to everyone here. Do you think this was the best Melbourne Storm team you've ever seen?
I think it was the best, at least until today, as far as we know, the best legal Melbourne, Melbourne Storm team.
Yep.
I think Craig Bellamy's managed to work into that team youthful, maybe inexperienced players and just get them to, you know, at or above NRL standard behind those already magnificent players. And the other thing, as I mentioned to you before about Melbourne Storm team, is their discipline. You don't hear of any of their players getting busted with cocaine or beating up the girlfriends, or at least as far as I'm aware this season, haven't heard a thing.
There was one guy, but ironically, it was Bromwich when he was playing for the New Zealand national team.
Ah.
So he got, the only guy who got busted for them wasn't with Melbourne that week. So there is something to that, I think. Is it because they're, Ernie, do you think it's because they're just afraid of Craig Bellamy?
100%, yes. I think they like having their children alive and their wife. So obviously if they miss a few tackles, Craig will, you know, maybe suspend access to, you know, your kids for a couple of days.
Yep.
One way or another. So he might just take them out of your house, or you just can't go home and have to sleep at Amy Park for a few nights.
Yep.
But
so it's emotional blackmail of the highest order.
Yeah, it's a tough school, but it works, you know. Yeah. And just getting back to the question earlier, I do believe it is the best Storm side we have seen. The point of difference would be the wingers, the finishing power of our man Adokar the Fox.
And they're amazing, aren't they?
They are unbelievable, yes. So I think that's the point of difference from those sides of the late noughties.
But remember that one person that they did have was Greg Inglis.
Well, I think Munster, no disrespect to Greg, but I think Munster almost sort of counteracts that himself. So yeah. We know Greg's a great player, but I think it's almost a like for like there.
I like the no disrespect to Greg. I like that. Although he's been known to take offence, actually. So.
One thing that you mentioned there, Ernie, that I really agree with Bellamy is how scary he is. If you look at a Melbourne Storm player drop the ball on a rare occasion that they do it and look up at the coach's box, you can actually see Craig Bellamy stabbing people with office furniture that he's broken apart in that moment. He is a scary individual.
Yep.
And I think that ties into the fact that whether you've made a mistake or not, if Craig's unhappy for whatever reason, then, you know, maybe you're better off not having kids and being single, because he'll come after you.
Yeah, I think, well, we should probably do a bit of a statistical breakdown and see if the best players have kids in the Storm side. If you find out that the single guys in that squad don't make regular first grade, then you'll know we're onto something.
And you drop a ball, you said the Andrew Ollie aneurysm.
Wow. And but here's the thing, though. Do you reckon you could ever go, you might turn up to Craig's house during the season and it's just a daycare centre? Because he's just got everyone's kids.
Yeah.
He's just got a ball pit.
Yeah.
You go, yeah, that's Cameron's. That's Cooper's. And Billy's is a little rat. I've cut his arm off.
There's eight of Kafusi's kids.
There's Nate Miles' kid. It's not moving much. Because he wasn't playing.
There's another 10 of Inavalu's.
There's a human trafficking element there that I'd be very uncomfortable with in the rugby league. But thankfully he does return the children, and the children come back largely unabused, and so therefore, you know, I think it's good for the game.
Do you think the kids would come back really efficient?
Well, they don't drop anything, you know. In a lot of ways, he's a bit of a church-like figure.
I was going to say a monster, but he's very effective. There's no, I mean, that's when all said and done. What's his record now? I think he's now possibly up in the ilk of your Jack Gibson type coaches.
Oh, indeed. Yes.
I think his percentage is definitely the highest of the modern era.
Well, I think he's actually now eclipsing Wayne Bennett quite comfortably.
I think he has.
You know, and post match press conferences are far chillier with Craig Bellamy, and he's scarier too, because he's got a lot of facial tics and the way he looks around. You never quite know where you are with Craig Bellamy, whereas with someone like Wayne Bennett, you pretty much know that he's a
grumpy bastard. He's thinking everyone's a cunt.
Yeah, but you know, at least you know where you are.
Yeah, Wayne thinks I'm a cunt.
Yeah.
You definitely can't deny that he's a benchmark in the modern game of coaching. However, I would like to see him coach another team,
Okay. Where would you like him to go?
West Tigers. No, it would just be interesting to see him take on another union and see how he went with that.
So you're genuinely saying, would he be good enough to cross the bridge like Wayne has?
I think he would be. It would just be interesting to see him with another unit.
Yeah. See how he went. Well, do you know the only time we ever got to see that was at Origin level, and it was not good.
But that's a different game, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, they've only got the 10-day camp, which 5 days of that's taken up,
taken up with drugs, drinking, prostitutes.
Riding Wayne Pearce.
Yep.
Watching Mark Gasnier defecate.
Yeah.
We can't cut that. I mean, that's part of our tradition.
Defecating.
As an Origin side, you know, we try and get the most out of it we can in that 10-day period.
I was going to say, in that 45 minutes.
Just sign off, basically, well before kickoff. We don't really show up, but we have a good time in the away camp.
Should the Blues have ever stayed at the Star Casino?
Well, at least maybe some of the players would have won for a change.
I'd probably even doubt that.
Yeah, Mitchell never wins.
Will Mitchell Pearce ever play Origin again? It's an easy one. No, he won't. But don't all dive in at once.
No.
He can't.
It's not possible. No.
Not even his biggest fan.
Well, I've mentioned to you before, Eamon, and I don't know whether Ernie agrees with me on this, but I think Queensland have a vested interest in keeping some of our more overrated players.
It's very nice of you to say.
Playing year after year. I mean, Gallen, need I say more?
Yeah, although Gallen at least saw a win, didn't he? Mitchell Pearce has never seen a win in the Sky Blue. How do you think that's going to make someone feel that they've played about 8 Origin series and they've never won? And the only time you don't play, your team wins.
You'd probably feel like a bit of a loser, I'd think.
I think you'd feel like a bit of a dog fucker.
We're having more and more looks at this. My first impression was that he touched it there.
Exactly right. It's a knock on there. Well, why are we still looking at it?
He's touched it there.
How many more times do we need to see him knock on?
If you had to name a couple of rules changes off the top of your head that you think would benefit the NRL next year, what would you go ahead with?
Obviously, if you attempt to score a try and knock it on in goal, that should not be, you know, seen as detrimental.
Yeah, that's a bad rule.
Yeah, it's a terrible rule, that one.
Yeah.
So only if kicks go dead for the attacking team should there be a 7-tackle restart.
I like that.
Also, with the 7-tackle restart, I think that the players should be allowed to get onside to a certain point.
So you're saying
be hard to police. But yeah.
So you're saying that they shouldn't be able to do a quick 20-metre? Is that what you...
Every player should be back onside, I guess, to an extent. But I guess that's hard to police because then they'll... be foxing it, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember there was a rule, which I don't seem to be policing anymore, where they prevented you from... Well, I think they are, actually. You can't pass it back because they didn't want really, really quick restarts to happen, which is why you have to run it back. But I noticed this year more teams starting to pass again and they were sort of turning a bit of a blind eye to it.
Actually, I think it should be the man who has the ball, possession of the ball, has to tap it.
Yeah,
they have
right.
to run it back. That's how it should be.
Okay. Yeah. Chip? What are your rule changes?
Look, I agree with Ernie on that one. I think 7 tackles and a quick restart is a bit much. So one or the other, perhaps. You have 7 tackles and you don't get a quick restart. I've played with the idea of if you ever go down to Melbourne and you're waiting at an intersection, the walking signal down
going?
There. I'll have some faith.
Yeah.
When you go to cross the road and the green walk light comes on, when that starts to flash, it has a countdown.
Yep.
So it tells you exactly how long you've got to get to the other side of the road. Now, I'd like to see refs doing a countdown on tackles so that you've got, call it 4 seconds, 5 seconds, once the contact is made or the tackle's being completed, in a countdown to get off that player.
Okay. So you want to see... the actual ruck policed more methodically, like
I want to see it cleaned up a little bit because there's a bit of a disparity between, I mean, the quick play, the ball's everything in today's game, in my view, and if you can control that play, the speed of the play, the ball, you're going to be very, very difficult to beat. Melbourne do it very well, as we know.
Well, Melbourne don't play by the rules. That's the thing that they're good at.
Well, Melbourne.
They sort of just make up their own ones.
Melbourne play in reference to the rules.
Yeah. They do, in reference to their own rule book.
Yeah, they don't break the rules. They play in reference to the rules.
I think they might break them. Yeah, I think they go beyond bending them these days. I think they used to bend them, now they break them. And now they write them, especially Cameron Smith. He just writes his own ones.
Well, I don't know whether you saw this, but Cameron Smith has a habit at halftime of walking off with the referees.
He does, yeah.
He'll actually go in and just let them know how they're going and walk them off the whole way.
Yeah.
Chatting to them the whole time. Now, okay, fine. If everyone can do that, that's fine. But he's in a league of his own when it comes to the political side of rugby league.
See, people call it gamesmanship, but I just think it's been an arsehole.
So could he be the first person ever to be a referee slash captain? So captain referee. So you know you've had the captain coach.
Good idea.
He does wear both hats.
He could be a captain referee.
I actually think when Chip says that Cameron Smith walks off of the ref, he's actually giving them pointers about how they went. Hmm. I don't think he's discussing what happened in the game or anything. And he's thinking, you did well here. If you could give us a bit more time on the ruck speed, that'd be great. Next time, don't ever call my passes forward. Mm. I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing.
He's pretty much like an on-field Tony Archer nowadays.
He is, yeah. A lot more talented than Tony.
Well, talking of head referees, Tony Archer had an interesting head as well. He did. He was quite an unusual headed person. Mm.
He was, as far as heads go. Mm. He looked very sort of SS Nazi, I always thought.
Mm.
Good head for radio.
Good head for radio.
Definitely.
Mm.
He tended to actually sport a bit of a mullet when he was a ref.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just a little bit, like if you could tell if he didn't have a collar that it would just go over the top, would unfurl itself.
I don't know about people with mullets in a position of power. There's something about that makes me uncomfortable.
I've never agreed with it.
Whether that's just my...
No, me too. No.
City life.
No, I was never an Australian Crawl fan.
Well, I put it to you. Think of a leader who had a mullet that did a good job. No, I'm really struggling. I don't think we have one.
I don't think there's much chance there. You might be able to find a female from the 80s.
If you guys had to name one team that were going to fall off the perch and who are up there now that are going to have a shocker next year, who would it be?
I'd have to go with Cronulla. They were offside for the whole of last year and somehow got away with it. So
They got back a good 3 metres.
A good 3 metres sometimes, yeah, on a good day. Yeah. But yeah, I just think they won't be allowed to do that this year. yeah, so I'd have to say Cronulla for mine.
Okay. I think that's probably not terrible. So who are they getting? So they're losing Jack Bird.
Yes, they're losing Jack Bird.
And they're getting Josh Dugan. And Sam, that's not a good trade.
That's a terrible trade.
Awful trade.
You've got speed, skill, class for slow, large
tattoos.
He's strong and can tackle. Cruises. That's about it. Yeah, he's got no pace and he can't pass. So
what is the appeal of Josh Dugan? Now I'm not trying to just get on his case relentlessly, but it does seem every podcast I give Josh Dugan some kind of backhander. But why does he make every rep team? He's made the fucking Australian team again. How the fuck did he make that?
He makes a mean spaghetti sauce.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Mao loves it.
Is he doing something with Mao that we should know about? Do we agree with me or am I just completely off
base
here?
He's not good.
Thank you, Ernie.
No. And he plays about 35 minutes a game because he's injured every game too.
That's it. He rolls around on the ground for most of the game. And even when he is up, he's bombing a try. Melbourne.
Well, I think Newcastle are going to be a new team next year. I think they're going to surprise a few people.
I think
they're going to be more formidable aside. They're going to have some good players. And watch out for their new utility half.
Connor Watson's gone there, hasn't he? They've got to be a mover next year. But people, I think, have gone a bit too far with that. And I've heard people saying, oh, it could be top four. I don't think they're going to be
maybe
top four.
Maybe top eight, not top four.
Top eight if they're lucky,
yeah,
I reckon.
Maybe.
I reckon they'd be struggling to make that eight.
Maybe.
As my personal opinion. I think they'll be much better, but...
I'll put them in the same boat as the Tigers. I think they'll be stronger all round in a sense, but they're both losing their best players by a long way.
So you're saying Gagai for the Knights?
Gagai for the Knights. Yeah. Easily the most classy player, and Tedesco for the Tigers. So it's going to be very tough when you lose that sheen.
What do we think of... Kalen Ponga, he's come from the Cowboys to the Knights. I have a feeling that kid could be an absolute freak. Like, I've only seen him play a handful of games, but he's kind of got a bit of a Jonathan Thurston feel about him. I don't like, like create labels, but he could be a real surprise packet for the Knights if he kicks on.
Yeah, I saw him debut in the final series in 2015, and he wasn't out of place. So
that's
crazy. His first game was in a final appearance. Yeah. He was one of the best players on the field. So
that's a big call.
There's big things coming.
Yeah. Anyone else? Who else is going to the Knights? You've got Guerra,
Kenny Dowell,
Peden.
Heinington is gone to the Knights. I just read. Yeah. And I remember thinking, he's going to play on, like, let alone just jumping clubs. But I was just shocked that he's playing again. How old's Heinington now? Heino's got to be, what?
40?
40-ish? Yeah. He has to be, right? He's officially middle-aged.
He's an old man.
And yet he's playing on. Although, to be fair, pretty decent footy player still.
Reasonable player, yes.
Yeah.
He did a good job for the Sharks when he won the comp in
16. He did. He actually went on and did a job and did it pretty well, I reckon. Heino Chip, what are your thoughts?
Oh, look. Beans means Heinz, really. So let's see what happens.
Any silly rules that we think we should be implementing?
Well, I would like to have a referee review system, a daily M, if you like, for the referees.
Yep.
You could call it the daily prick or something that if you wanted to. But yeah, I'd like to see some kind of recourse and or responsibility taken by the refs for their decisions, particularly if one's overturned. That should be, 10 points.
To who?
To the referee. And the winner is the loser, if you like.
So in your system, the referee are like a team and they're earning points.
Well, each referee is...
what happens if the referees win? The crowd wouldn't be happy.
The biggest loser, yeah.
Okay, they're dickheads for winning.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But the crowd can't be happy with that, can they? If the winner happens to be, Matt Chechen...
Well, they win the
wooden spoon. What if Matt Chechen wins the comp?
You still say you won the wooden spoon, right?
Yep.
So they would win the award, but it's to be avoided where possible. And maybe they have to wear a funny shirt for next season, that particular referee. Like as a
punishment.
So they can stand out, I'm the biggest prick.
They have to dress as an Iranian prostitute.
That's interesting because you don't see many of them. They kind of keep a low profile.
Yeah, you don't see them in public. But they're there.
What do they look like?
You search. You've got to look for your sexier burka.
I've got a
Ernie?
Silly rule change.
Help us.
For 2018.
Yes.
I call it the retro interchange. So what you do is bring someone in from the noughties, from the past decade, who played for your team. And you have a different person each week. So they have to play a minimum of 40 minutes.
Yep.
So for Parramatta, they could have Michael Witt.
That'd be amazing.
And then in round two, they could have Josh Cordoba.
Oh, that'd be so good. So
that would be fantastic. So
and does the team get to choose who they put in?
The opposing team gets to choose.
Oh, the opposing team.
The opposing team.
That's fantastic.
So they look at it and say if you're West Tigers,
yep.
Right, and you're playing against East.
Yep.
You can go, I'm going to pick Ben Wellington for that
game. That'd be so good.
Yeah.
And then the second half, you might run on Sam Obst.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. That would be fantastic.
I think they'd be picking Todd Byrne every game. Todd Byrne would have to quit his job.
A different player. It must be a different player.
Treadmill Todd. Big shout
Tigers,
out to Todd.
West Tigers every player over there. So. Marco Halloran, Hassan Selle, Ben Jeffries. The list goes on, John Wilson. It wouldn't end.
How good's that? They go, all right, for the Tigers, who are you going to pick? You just go, I don't know, Kevin Nagaima? Hey, let's pick current players.
Kevin Nagama.
Kevin can play.
Michael Cheek. Joel Edwards.
Oh, God. There are some...
There's some quality
There's
teams.
Some guys you got to get rid of.
There's some quality players there.
Keep That's going. Awesome.
The Roosters, they haven't got much quality. I'm like, yeah, Cheek.
Edwards. Yeah, I didn't
Tim
say...
Tim Grant.
I didn't say your club doesn't have problems. Yeah. Your clubs have got some problems.
Oh,
God. is Josh Reynolds going to solve all your problems?
No. what I do like about Josh is that he has a mongrel in him. He never gives up.
Yep.
I just wondering if there's much pace there.
you don't have to wonder.
He doesn't ever give up. Doesn't use his arms too much when he tackles. Loves a trip.
You're right. He's all shoulders and legs.
He's all shoulders and legs. Yeah.
Joints.
Yeah. Guys, in the closing stages of the potty, I want just some bold predictions for the World Cup coming up. This is, are you guys actually A, going to be watching it? And B, who's going to be the bolter for you?
That's a good question. Will I watch it? I think I probably will if I can.
I like the fact we're doing a rugby league podcast. Will I watch it? We're really into our craft.
I'll definitely be watching the game. Yeah. Australia, New Zealand, maybe for the first 10 minutes until, you know, New Zealand fall to pieces might be worth watching. But other than that, maybe, I mean, I'd like to see Tonga. I'd like to see Tonga play. I think they'll do well. Obviously, they've got some NRL players of high standing coming into their team, so wish them well. But
who's your bolter, Ernie?
Well, I'm just looking forward to the Group B stage match between Chinese Taipei and Georgia.
Oh, you know what that is? Classic local derby.
Yes. You never want to get on the wrong side of the Chinese Taipei forward pack.
No, sure. Yeah. No. If the Chinese government wanted them to be good at rugby league, I think they could win a World Cup in about a year. They're just that type of government.
They just got to go to the science factories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just breed them. Yeah. They'd probably abduct someone like Inglis and make him breed with, I don't know,
thigh. And then somehow make that child that's meant to be 120 within a year.
So, yeah, that's right.
And ready for NRL.
They'd be eating nothing but perfect protein from the womb. Mm.
Quantum computed simulations of game strategy. They're very difficult to beat.
Otherwise known as Cameron Smith. You've been listening to The Voluntary Tackle. Guys, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chip, Ernie. Thank you. You have a good night, and we'll see you all soon.
Over now.
You know, I have quite enjoyed the fact that Jarryd Hayne thinks he chose to play for Fiji in this World Cup. You know, Luke Lewis is that good. I'm convinced that if he had a goiter, it would play first grade. You know, in this World Cup, I really hope Italy can go all the way. Not because I want the game to expand or anything, just because I've got money on them. 8,000 to 1. That's actually the same odds for John Stamos to win an Oscar.